Good morning, church. Today's reading is taken from the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 to chapter 4, verse 12. I'll give you a little bit of time to reach for your Bible and or your Bible app so that you can find the right location of the verses in the chapter. So it's book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 to chapter 4, verse 12. Book of James, chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but earthly, unspiritual, demonic. From where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirits he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You need to go back to OpenLP and close it, or escape from OpenLP, and then switch to, just close the OpenLP and turn on the PowerPoint. And if you don't mind turning the screen too, so I can see, that'd be great. Let me pray. Sorry that we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but once again, love to welcome you again. Since you've joined us from the beginning, we're doing this for the first time, but it's really great that we have the technology to do so from wherever we are, that we can worship still together at Shatin Church. We're going to continue our series through James, this section about quarrels and fights among us. But let's pray that God will now speak to us through his word. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, that it's living and active, Lord, we thank you that even though this was written so long ago, that it's relevant to us, it speaks to us. And by the power of your Spirit, we pray that your word will go out and pierce our hearts, that it will transform our hearts, that it might change the way that we think. But not only that, that it will change the shape of our hearts, that it might glorify you, that all the stuff that comes out of our hearts will bring praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hong Kong is a city that strives for academic excellence. The IB results in Hong Kong for students is consistently higher than anywhere in the world. And it boasts world-class universities. It produces people who are consistently high-achieving. But it doesn't mean that people in Hong Kong are wise. Actually, intelligence doesn't equate to wisdom, does it? And not all wisdoms are the same either. James mentions here in our text two kinds of wisdoms. He says there is, in chapter 3, verse 15, the earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. It comes from our selfishness. It's the kind of wisdom that says, you need to look out for yourself. If you don't look out for yourself, who's going to watch out for you? Demand your right, promote yourself. You deserve this, and you need to compete against everybody else. Lie when it suits you. And what's the harm if nobody gets hurt? Stock up for the next 3 months' supply of rice and toilet paper, because if you don't do that right now, you will get into trouble later in the future. You don't want to put yourself in danger. Every man for himself. A king promised a man who was prone to envy anything that he wished, but there was a catch, that he would give his rival twice as much whatever he asked for. So if he asked for a bag of gold, he would give his rival two bags of gold. If he asked for a promotion, he would give the other person two promotions. So he stewed and he thought, and here was the solution that he came up with. In his demonic wisdom, he asked that he be made blind in one eye so that his rival would be blinded in both eyes. That's the kind of wisdom that James is talking about in chapter 3, verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. Disorder and every evil practice is the fruit of living that sort of wisdom. Those are the kind of wisdom that dominates this world. But there is another way. There is another way, and James calls this wisdom in verse 70, wisdom that comes from heaven. It's a completely different kind of wisdom. In fact, actually, the world doesn't call it wisdom at all because it stems from humility. It stems from selflessness. Verse 13. Well, we need to get what humility is. C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity that true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. He describes it as self-forgetfulness. In his fictional book, Screwtape Letters, a senior devil advises a junior devil what humility is. And he tells what God wants from his people, and this is what he says. He, God, wants to bring your man to the state of mind in which he could design the best cathedral in the world and know it to be the best, and rejoice in that fact, and without being any more or less glad at having done so than if it had been done by another. Man, that's true humility, isn't it? To do something really great, to have built the best cathedral, best building in the world, and not think too much about yourself. Be glad. Even if somebody else had done it, you'd be just as happy. Because it wasn't about you. It was about something else. You're not thinking so much about yourself. That's true humility. And when we're truly humble, we will think of ourselves less, what we deserve. Our pride and our ego, our rights and what we want. And we'll start thinking more about my wife, my child, my friends, my colleagues, my church brothers and sisters, what they want and what they prefer. they become greater and we become small. And that sort of humility is the opposite of worldly wisdom that stems from selfish ambition, envy. James describes this wisdom like this in verse 17. It's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Those who live by this wisdom are peacemakers, who sow peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Harvest of righteousness, right relationship with God, and also right relationship with each other. There is harmony. There is peace. Brothers and sisters, in times of crisis like this, we naturally think of ourselves more, don't we? We think of our safety. We think of our future, our health. And that's why we can't buy toilet paper out in the grocery store. That's why we can't buy rice anymore. And sometimes when we can't get what we want, some people will go out and fight, quarrel to get it, as he says in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Some people will kill to get what they want. But God's wisdom, especially in times of trial, compels us to think of ourselves less and think of others more. It compels us to be considerate of others. When others' needs are in conflict with what we want, we are submissive. We are merciful. We overlook. We forgive when others offend us. When others say one thing and do another to get what they want, we are sincere. We say what we mean, and we do what we say. That's one and the same. This might look like weakness to the world, but it's strength in God's kingdom, because it takes tremendous strength and courage to live with such humility. And Moses is described as the most humble person by Numbers, right? Most humble person, but he was a leader. He was just that the kind of leader who didn't think of himself very much, but he thought of the needs of his people more. Jesus, he says he's gentle and humble at heart, but he didn't think any less of himself. He knew exactly who he was. He was the Son of God with all his rights and with all his power. He knew exactly who he was, but he didn't think of himself more than others. He thought of others. He went to the cross for us. That's humility. That's God's wisdom. So, brothers and sisters, which wisdom have you been living by? And which wisdom will you pursue at this time? Because true wisdom, it's really difficult to pursue, because actually there is a war at heart, in our hearts. So take a look at chapter 4, how he starts. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires and that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. I don't know who you blame for your fights, but we often blame other people, don't we? Ah, it's my wife, it's my husband or children, colleagues, my boss. They're so ungodly, they're unreasonable, they're sinful. That's why I'm like this. Or we often blame the situation around us. The coronavirus, it's making people go crazy, it's making me go crazy. The work pressure, it's getting to me. The government policy is making me do all these things. James will not let us off the hook so easily. It's not others, and it's not the situation. Whether it's in marriage, in workplace, in friendship, or our relationship with others, all fights start the same way. They start because our hearts are divided. Our hearts are divided. One side that wishes to honor God and lay down our life for others, and another side that demands what I want, that's willing to fight to get what I want. And you know how it goes. Imagine, you know, you come back from work and your wife, she's had a long day and she says something slightly rude as you pass by. You're at a crossroads. There is a desire in you to let it go. You know that she's had a long day. You know that's a godly thing to do, not to bring it up. You know that. But there is another desire. Desire to be respected. Desire that says that she was wrong. You need to demand what is right, or else she'll do it again. So instead of letting it go, you say something like, well, that was rude. I mean, if this sounds very like I'm familiar with this, it's because this sort of thing happens to me all the time. Instead of letting it go, you say, "Oh, that's rude," and that's all the spark this conflict needs. The whole thing flares up, and you start fighting. And actually, you don't even know what you're fighting about in the middle of your fight because it's not no longer about what started, but you just want to win. You just want to win this argument. Well, you see, the whole thing started with two competing desires in our hearts. One that says, "Be Christ-like. Lay down your life for the other person." And the other one that says, "No, you need to watch out for your own rights. You need to be selfish here." And when we choose to be selfish, when we choose to focus on what we want, what our rights are, and all those things, actually quarrels will start. Fight happens. And the sad thing is, God is willing to meet all your needs if we just go to Him. But we don't get it because we don't ask, James says. And actually, when we do ask, we often ask with the wrong motive. And when we ask with wrong motive, God will not be manipulated. James's verdict for people like us is damning. Look at what he calls the people that he's writing to in chapter 4, verse 4. "You adulterous people, don't you know that your friendship with the world means enmity against God?" He calls them adulterers. Let that word sink in you a little bit. Adulterers. People, we, with divided hearts, are adulterers. We've said that we are committed to Jesus, to His way, that we love Him, we're most satisfied in Him, that we will follow Him. But we have not stopped flirting. No, actually, we have this full-on other relationship with the world. We pursue what everybody else out in the world pursues just the same. We know what we should do, but we don't do it because our hearts are divided. Late Steve Jobs is the founder of Apple Inc., once the highest valued company in the world. He's transformed many industries, hasn't he? He's revolutionized personal computing. I mean, the alternative to PC is now available. He's transformed animated a movie industry. He founded Pixar. I don't know if you knew that, but Pixar is founded by him. Music industry through invention of iPod and popularizing streaming music. Phone industry was changed by iPhone. I love my iPhone. Tablet computing through iPad and all these other things. But you might also know that he was a cantankerous. He was kind of a grumpy a person who always had fights. He had fights in his personal relationship, in his professional relationships. For example, when he thought that his contractor wasn't shipping parts to Apple fast enough, he would just break the contract. He would let them sue Apple while just going to another contractor and saying, "You need to do this. You need to get it right." And once he made Bill Gates wait 1 hour, he came. I mean, it's Bill Gates, right? He came to his office. He made him wait for 1 hour because he just didn't like Microsoft. He just wanted to make sure that Bill Gates knew what he thought of him. He refused to acknowledge his daughter as his daughter, claiming that he was sterile. After the DNA test came back, he waited until he was ordered by the court to pay his child support. He knew what he wanted, and he never laid down his life for another person. He fits that description of James's quarrelsome person who goes by the worldly wisdom. But as I thought about using him as an illustration, even though he fits this description so well, I had hesitation. It's not because I'm a godly man, I just wanted to be nice to Steve Jobs. It's just that because all these things are documented, I'm not making these things up. But there was a part of me that started to think, wow, but still, he's such a great man. He's done all these great things. I find myself admiring him and his success, and I start rationalizing his behavior. Maybe you have to be like this. You have to be selfish and brutal, demanding the impossible from people in order to make a difference in this world. Then it hit me. My heart is just as divided Right? Just as James describes our hearts, my heart is just as divided. Yes, of course, I admire Jesus and his ways. You lay down your life. You prefer other people's needs over your own. And follow the way of humility. But there's the other side of me that's still not convinced. But that says actually, if you want to do great things, Hugh, if you want to make a big difference in this world, you have to be a little bit like Steve Jobs. And I want that. I want that worldly success. You see, my heart is adulterous. I say I'm completely content with Jesus and what he gives me. His approval, his love. And yet, I want all these other things at the same time. Listen, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Brothers and sisters, are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you wholly satisfied with his love and his approval, his promise, his care for you? Because if you are not, if your heart does not wholly belong to him, your hearts are divided and you will want these other things and you will sometimes then quarrel and fight to get it. So could I ask now, in this stressful time, commit your heart wholly to Jesus. Seek him and you will reap a harvest of righteousness, right relationship with God, right relationship with the people around you. And these are the things that you really truly desire. And the good news in all of this is actually that God is not satisfied with your divided heart. God is not satisfied. Take a look at chapter 4, verse 5. God jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us. I take that to mean that the Holy Spirit that he's breathed in us longs to God jealously. Longs for God jealously. He doesn't want our heart to be belong to anything else, to the garbage that the world offers to us. And that's good news because that's what love looks like. Right? So if I came back from work and told Mary, "Mary, I just have these casual flings with other people, other women." And Mary goes, "Oh, that's fine, as long as it makes you happy." I might think, "Whoa, maybe Mary does not love me. Maybe our relationship is not the way it's supposed to be." You see, God jealously longs after us because he loves us. Because he is the only one he knows who can satisfy us, fully satisfy us. And he will not accept anything less than full allegiance to him. And that return to the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Old Testament writers said in Proverbs and other places that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing that God exists, knowing that God is this amazing God, that sense of awe that will bring you to humility. To follow the way of the Lord. That was the beginning of wisdom. And similarly, James tells us that beginning of wisdom starts with repentance in verse 7. Submission to God. Submit yourselves to the Lord. This is a spiritual battle. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Unlike a jealous husband who holds grudges. God will draw near to us no matter how divided our hearts have been in the past. As long as we come to him, he will draw near to you. He will add grace upon grace to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy into gloom. This sadness is not sadness for its own sake. It's rightly examining our hearts and finding that there's idolatry, that there's adultery in our hearts, and it's mourning and wailing genuinely before our God who has given himself everything to us. And humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. A picture of this that Jesus has given is in Luke 15, the well-known story of the prodigal son. As the son returns back home, what does the father do? He runs. He runs after his child who has come back, and he hugs him. He doesn't scold and he doesn't hold anything back. He lavishes grace upon grace. He throws a feast for his son who has returned. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. What do you think? That moment that the son returned, do you think that in that moment the prodigal son thought a lot about himself, what he deserved? Of course not. He was lost in his father's grace. Do you think his heart would have been divided between the ways of the world and the ways of his father? No. His heart is wholly won by his father. So friends, come to Jesus. Come near to God today, and he will draw near to you. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that our lives are not marked in many ways by harvest of righteousness, peace and humility and love and gentleness, kindness. Lord, our lives are so much marked by quarrels and fights and selfishness. Lord, would you help us to see that you are all that we need, that you are God who is more than able to meet our heart's desires, that as we return to you, we pray now that you would shower us with your amazing grace, that we would lose ourselves in you, that we would follow you and give our hearts wholly to you. And we pray even now that your Spirit will be at work in us, not just jealously longing for the union with Christ, but Lord, drawing us to yourself, that we will be wholly yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.